This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Monday, October 21, 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and for the next 55 minutes, we'll share with you the top business news stories of the Des Moines Metro, along with a Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, and the numbers from agriculture. Along with the news, we make welcome two guests to our studios. This half hour, we'll be visiting with Rich Eichner of Eichner Properties of Des Moines. We'll be talking about the makeover of the Merle Hay Road, Douglas Avenue neighborhood, and offer up a preview of a special screening of the film Matthew Shepard Was a Friend of Mine. Rich Eichner, this half hour. Then next half hour, we make welcome Martha Willits from the committee regarding the Polk County Courthouse proposal. We'll dive into the reasons why so many in the metro business community are behind this initiative and what it will mean for the city. That's Martha Willits. Next half hour. We'll get to the business news of the day right after we check the weather and the traffic. This is Insight on Business, the news hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Rich Eichner of Eichner Properties. We've got a couple of reasons to visit with Rich. One is about his development work, and the other, the special screening of the Matthew Shepard Was a Friend of Mine, slated for Wednesday. Don't go away. This is Insight on Business. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Insight on Business, the news hour. We've got 14 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. If you were paying attention to the weather forecast, I swear somebody said the word snow there. And we're right now at 51 degrees, going to dip down into the low 40s, or 36 degrees for later on tonight. Rain in the forecast, and then for tomorrow, I expect a high somewhere near 44. Fall is officially here, I think. In studio with us is the president of Eichner Properties, Rich Eichner, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to talk a little bit about several things, and I'm so pleased that Rich carved out some time to spend with us today. We're going to be talking about this whole redesign and this wonderful work that's been going on Merle Hay Road and Douglas in Des Moines and in Urbandale. That's a major project that you've got going over there. Welcome to the News Hour, Rich.
Well, thanks. Well, thanks, Michael. It's wonderful to be here.
Tell us... There was a gas station there at one time. It was a pretty unsightly area, and all of that's been transformed. How many buildings and how many tenants are there now?
Well, a lot of buildings have been replaced over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
the northeast corner was obviously the biggest eyesore. That's where the gas station was. There also was a dental office, a tires building, an old Pizza Hut that was a biker bar.
That's right.
And so on. And so each of those properties had to be acquired laboriously and expensively over time.
I'm sure.
And then find new tenants, and then we hit the recession in the middle of that process. And then we've also cleaned up the southwest corner behind the Verizon store to the west with a new building we just opened this fall.
I see Noodles and Company.
Noodles and Company and Taco John's and Cherry Berry and Sports Clips, and we're working another one. They're coming by middle of the week to talk about the final bay.
Well, that has totally transformed that area.
Well, it's helped, and obviously I've not been the only person building. Ron Daniels built a building on the southeast corner where AT&T right. and Chipotle are. The Hardee's was torn down and rebuilt. If you go west, you had Casey's building at 62nd. If you go north, you had Buffalo Wild Wings and Firestone and Iowa Methodist Medical Clinic. So all of those buildings took mm-hmm. out old buildings that were ugly, obsolete, and not in use. And so that makes it really transforms the area.
It really does transform the area. And you're kind of partial to that area because you office out of that location, don't you?
I'm at 3839 yeah. Merle Hay, right across from the mall. And obviously the mall spent a lot of money and they're spending more money.
And
so we're delighted on their new project.
Yeah, they are heavily involved over there. I think they started just recently redoing the entire mall. That mall does need a bit of a facelift, doesn't it?
Well, they've done the east face mm-hmm. Over the last 4 or 5 years and spent $10 or $15 million on that. They'd done the main entryway just before the recession hit, and now they're working on the south face. They've torn down the mall on the parking ramp on the south side of the mall, and they're putting Flick's Brew Pub in,
right.
Which will open a year from now, and that'll be 8 theaters where you can come in, order order your dinner, order whatever you want to eat, get freshly brewed beer, and sit and watch movies. And when you run out, you tap a button, and they come back and get you some more. So that's quite a concept. I'll be the only one like that in Iowa, as far as I know.
You know, that's reminiscent a long time ago. Remember Billy Joe's picture show? That was downtown, wasn't it?
No, Billy Joe's was in West Des Moines.
Was it? Okay.
But you could smoke in those days. So that made it kind of not as appealing to some people.
Well, the I think the Merle Hay Mall, is that the oldest mall in the city?
Well, I think Highland Park technically may be a little older.
Yeah.
I think it claimed to be the oldest enclosed mall in Iowa or something like that. But you have to read citations carefully to make sure you get all the caveats.
Rich Eichner, ladies and gentlemen, Eichner Properties has been heavily involved in redoing lots of the property there at Merle Hay Road and 86.
Douglas.
Sorry, I'm sorry, 86.
Merle Hay and 86 don't cross.
No, they don't. That would be really difficult, wouldn't it? Noodles & Company, that's a relatively new franchise here in the city. There's one, I believe, over at the Valley West Mall, and then now this location.
Well, Noodle, it's actually a franchise, a corporate store out of a Denver-based company. And they have 300 or 400 stores at this point. Mm-hmm. I think they're now up to 4. They're also on Ingersoll. And I think they're working on a site in West Des Moines. So,
What makes Des Moines so attractive to new businesses?
Stability, I think, for the national players. You don't have the high highs and the low lows, so you just have good steady Iowa business,
you know,
with farmers and insurance people and bankers and things of that nature. So it's a fascinating community, but at the same time, you know, we went through some pretty hard times,
and
financing was very difficult, as you know.
Oh boy!
And it was easy to lose projects, and obviously a lot of developers went down during that period of time.
We just last week we had a conversation with the executive vice president for the new Lifetime Fitness Center that's going in across from Menards on Hickman. And that is going to be a huge project. And they wanted to be where Bob Brown is currently at on Hickman. But then the recession came and they backed out. But they really wanted to come into Urbandale. And so now they will be. And that's quite a project in itself. So there are lots of things going on here in the capital city. And congratulations for being one of the thought movers in the in Des Moines. We're going to take a quick break because I want to segment into something that you're very passionate about, and for good reason, and that's the Matthew Shepard film that's going to be shown on Wednesday here in town. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Rich Eichner back in studio, and we're going to be talking about Matthew Shepard Was a Friend of Mine, a special screening that takes place on Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. A half minutes now after the hour of 5 o'clock. My name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for being with us. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour, the only business news magazine of its kind in the metro. And we're here to celebrate all kinds of things, from small business to large business. And if you've got a story for us, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us through email by going to iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. And during the broadcast, you want to have an opportunity to ask our guests questions or make a comment about the NewsHour. You can do that via Twitter. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. That's @IOB_NewsHour. In studio with us is our friend Rich Eichner from Eichner Properties. He's very passionate to the foundation here in Iowa with regard to Matt Shepard. He's done a lot of work with anti-bullying work. As a matter of fact, one of the first, I think, in the area that was really on that, and on that very heavily. Matthew Shepard Scholarship Program is sponsoring this Matt Shepard Is a Friend of Mine, a special screening on Wednesday. Tell us Matt's story, Rich.
Well, Matt was a 21-year-old college student in Laramie, Wyoming on October 6th, 1999. 98, when he was kidnapped from a bar and taken out in the country and pistol whipped and tied to a fence and left to die. He was there about 18 hours before he was found. The two people who collected him from the bar had been drinking in the bar, had totally ignored him, and then they went in and they were buying their beer with nickels and pennies out of a jar, and then they went in the bathroom and hatched the plan to come, you know, get what they thought was a rich gay kid. Matt was about 105 pounds, 5'4", you know, very slender, a slight person, and the thing that happened is Matt didn't die. He was found 18 hours later by a mountain biker. The police were called. They fairly quickly solved the crime, but Matt hung on for 5 days in a Colorado hospital. His parents were able to get back from Saudi Arabia, where Dennis Shepard is in the oil business. I was in the oil business at that time, and so Matt became kind of a symbol of anti-gay rhetoric and how that rhetoric leads to violence against gay people. And so in 2000, we started the scholarship to commemorate Matt and his life with the support of the family. And since then, we've awarded 149 scholarships to openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender Iowa high school students. We're very proud of all of them. And the fundraiser Wednesday night is to show a new film, which was filmed by Matt's high school classmate from the American school in Switzerland, where he went to school. And it includes all kinds of family stories, pictures, even video for Matt as a youngster. And it's an opportunity to really understand who Matt was as a human being before he became Matthew Shepard, the icon that we think of today as in anti-gay, anti-bullying efforts.
Rich Eichner, ladies and gentlemen, in studio with us. We're talking about this special screening of Matt Shepard Is a Friend of Mine. It's going to be on Wednesday, October 23rd.
At 7 o'clock at the Floor Theater.
There you go.
Might as well get the plug in.
Absolutely. We're going to do that several times between now and then. Rich, have we gotten any better with regard to the bullying and the constant harassment?
We're more aware of it, but at the same time, you might have noticed in the paper last week, Jacob Stallman from Tipton, Iowa, who's gone through a lot of bullying himself, and actually received an award from the Matthew Shepard Foundation in Denver last weekend. He and his family went out. So there's still incredible instances. There's more recognition. We've gone in 2002 when we started anti-bullying efforts in the state of Iowa in conjunction with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. At that time, nobody seemed to care. We went through 4 years with Republican leadership in the House with nobody caring about kids getting bullied or why they were getting bullied. And now we've transformed that for the last three governors of Iowa, both Vilsack, Culver, and now Branstad, who are concerned about bullying. Branstad's now holding his own anti-bullying summit every year. So we've made tremendous progress in turning bullying into an issue. Whether we've reduced the amounts of bullying or not, I think, is still an open question. The Department of Education has been somewhat lethargic in instituting the 2007 law that we passed, but they're starting to pick up some steam on that. So it's really incumbent on everybody. But at the same time, you know, you turn on the evening news and you see bullying going on.
Absolutely.
You look at what the members of Congress are yelling back and forth at each other. It's easy to have children think that that's acceptable behavior.
It is. And one of the things is the whole intent of lack of decorum and civility that it's not that I can disagree with you. It's that I hate you all of a sudden. It just escalates so rapidly. So I'm not sure, while there has been, I believe, awareness, as you say, with regard to bullying LGBT teens, it's still there, and it's still very prevalent, and there's not a week that goes by that we don't hear about it happening someplace, if not in Iowa, from one end of the country to the other.
And we see the tragic results. We see young people committing suicide. Or committing the equivalent of suicide by dropping out of school, self-medicating, and things of that nature. So they're hurting their futures trying to cope with the bullying that they face.
Now, the foundation does work with high school seniors. Is that correct?
The Iowa's Matthew Shepard Scholarship Program is for Iowa high school seniors.
And 149 students
to date
that you've done this with, and that's remarkable. And this is funded through you.
Largely. Largely.
You and so many of your
wonderful
friends.
Wonderful people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wonderful people that have stepped up and say, look, we want to be able to help out. And this is a way that you can help out. Matt Shepard is a friend of mine, screening at Fleur Cinema and Cafe on Fleur Drive. It is on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. How do folks get tickets for this?
They can go to our website. You can either just type in Eichner Foundation, if you can spell Eichner,
yeah, that's
which is E-Y-C-H-A-N-E-R, or you can just type in Matthew Shepard Scholarship or Iowa's Matthew Shepard Scholarship, and you'll find a link on Google to the Eichner Foundation, and click on there, and there's it's the most prominent thing on our website.
At this point.
Yes.
When is the next scholarship dinner?
The scholarship dinner is always the first Friday night in June.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just had it a couple months ago, and we'll start a new round of applications. Applications deadline will probably be March 1st, 2014, for openly LGBT Iowa high school students. And we'd love to see as many applications as possible.
And that application process, is there a committee that goes through the application?
There is a committee of about a dozen people. It's a quite extensive application, about 7 essay questions. Lots of general information you got to fill out as you would in any scholarship.
Sure.
And then that's reviewed, and reference letters are checked and things of that nature.
Have you been able to follow any of the recipients of...
Oh, we've got yes, of course. We've got great recipients.
Can you share a story or two?
Julius Carter from Lincoln High School here in Des Moines, mm-hmm. Is currently on Broadway in Spider-Man, dancing with Spider-Man on Broadway for his second year. He's previously been in a traveling show for A Color Purple and Moving Out. Galen Newton is in Los Angeles, where he works for now Fox Entertainment as a producer. We have Allison Molman from Cedar Rapids, who went through Iowa with a 4.0, went through Berkeley Law School with honors, and now is in her second year in Louisiana with an Innocence Project, getting people out of jail who have been wrongfully convicted.
The Innocence Project.
Right. So,
that is a huge project.
So we have people very, very proud of them. We could go on down the
list.
Yeah,
your alumni have done well.
They have, and we're very proud of them.
Rich Eichner, ladies and gentlemen, Eichner Properties, and also the Matthew Shepard Foundation here in Iowa.
The Eichner Foundation. Matthew Shepard Foundation is in Denver, is the family foundation.
The Matt Shepard is a friend of mine. The screening is 7 o'clock, October 23rd. That's on Wednesday at Fleur Cinema and Cafe. And you can go online to find, as a matter of fact, if you just Google Matt Shepard, Iowa, you're going to get there.
Probably.
Yeah, I did today. Okay. So that's exactly how you do that. You can find out more about the foundation, the work that they do, and, of course, Eichner Properties as well. Thanks you so very much for making
Michael,
the time.
It's been fun to be here.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Up next, we've got the Wall Street Journal report, then the stocks of local interest, and the numbers from the agricultural markets. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. When we come back, we'll be joined by Martha Willits, and we're going to be talking about the Polk County Courthouse Project. Don't leave. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Insight on Business, the NewsHour, comes from Mr. B Clothing of Clive, the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola, the Iowa Computer Club of Des Moines, and West Bank.
5:39, we've got 21 minutes now before the top of the hour. Welcome back to Insight on Business, the NewsHour. Our guest is Martha Willits. Over the years, Willits has served in all kinds of distinct areas here in Polk County, as an elected official of the Polk County Board of Supervisors, in the nonprofit world as president of the United Way of Central Iowa, in the private sector as president of the partnership. She joins us today to visit a little bit about the Polk County Courthouse Initiative. Welcome to the NewsHour, Martha. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Michael.
How have you been?
Well, good to be here.
What is this retirement business?
I'm retired, and Mary Kramer's retired, and E.J. Giovanetti's retired, and we've all come out to volunteer. And really lead this important question in the education side of it.
Well, I know E.J., and I know Mary, and you guys could not be in better hands, or this project could not be in better hands. This is something that's been kicked around a couple of times. And this, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the Polk County Courthouse, that beautiful facility that's aging.
Absolutely. 106 years.
But still beautiful.
Yes.
And still usable.
If used correctly, would be beautiful.
There you go. So talk, give us the historical aspect of this. This has been before the voters.
In 2008.
Previously. And it was rejected at that time.
Correct.
And now we're in 2013, and it's back on the ballot initiative to do some major changes with regard to safety and consideration of the Polk County Courthouse, the people that work there. You tell us the story.
I'd love to, and I'll kind of tell it from my own perspective for a moment. As you mentioned, I was on the Board of Supervisors, and I hate to time myself here, but 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And this building is 106 years old, and it is grand and glorious, but built to be four courtrooms 106 years ago. 30 years ago, when I went on the Board of Supervisors, and in fact, now Chief Judge Art Gamble went on the bench that same year.
Really?
Those judges called the Board of Supervisors over to say, you know, this building isn't very usable now in 1984 for the dozens of courtrooms that we then had. And we are crowded and we need relief from this. So that was 30 years ago. We pushed back, as you know, elected officials try to do, and make sure it's as efficient as possible, and said, you need to double up, use your time more wisely, use the space more wisely. And they did, and they did, and they did
for
30 years. And so I have a real firsthand feeling and a real passion that it's time now, way past time, that this 106-year-old building, now with 28 courtrooms in it, just wasn't built nor will be preserved very well in that kind of usage pattern. In 2008, the supervisors put a plan before the public. It was defeated, but there was lots of input. And the input at that point was, we know there's a problem here. We know there's a safety concern for everyone. It's a highly used building. 500,000 people in and out of that building every year. 48% of us respond. We went just last year. So it's a multi-use, highly used building. People know this. They know it's trying to do too many things with too many audiences in it at one time. So that's accepted. Something needs to happen. The plan at that point was an expensive plan, $132 million, had a brand new shiny building in it. And the voters really spoke loudly. They said, look, we know something needs to be done. We don't like this plan. We don't like fancy new buildings particularly. We want the courthouse preserved but used. This is not a museum. This is a building that we're proud of and should be used. All of those input mechanisms were really known then at the end of that 2008 cycle. So the supervisors went to work over these 5 years. They took a lot more input. They spoke with national consultants who were working in court systems across the country, telling what best practices were. They listened, and I think we can be really proud of the fact that in this day and age, when we're all concerned that we're not being heard by elected officials, and that in fact we don't have input, that this is really the public's plan now. Everything that was sort of asked for has been attended in this plan, and we'll talk to the parts of that. But I'm pretty proud, and I know Mary Kramer and J. Giovanetti are two. We've all seen the parts of this. We all have our own little stories. Mary, of course, was ambassador in Barbados, and in that role got to see lots of developing countries, developing democracies, and is just eloquent in saying, you know, we know the foundation of a great democracy is really, sounds simple, about three basic things. Really preserving and respecting the rule of law and our justice systems. Great quality education, and free elections, fair and free elections.
All of which.
This one hits a lot of that.
All of which this particular instance or this initiative hits.
Exactly. So she brings a really big world experience to this and says, you know, we have got to preserve this. And the safety and security of our system and our people as we're using it is really important. And EJ then was part of the board. He's now retired, but was part of the board that, in fact, did that replanning. And he is very strong in saying, I saw it all. We cannot do this with a better plan. This is a reuse plan of other buildings, buildings that are empty right now and owned by the county. So already we've accomplished that. And this is preserving the courthouse, and we'll talk more about that. But I think this is our time. This is our time, and the public, this is the public's plan. And I'm pretty hopeful that we'll do it right this time so that we're not 30 more years from now.
Martha Willits in studio, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about the initiative to redo, restore, and reuse so many of the buildings downtown in the Spoke County Courthouse. Currently, there is staff spread out all over the place, isn't there?
Correct. And in fact, those will all be eventually moved into this three-building little campus downtown, and it will save $500,000 a year in that kind of lease payment. So that's a plus. That's a real plus. And we'll be able to rehab the courthouse and other buildings.
Now, the courthouse as it sits, 106-year-old building, which is just gorgeous, and there's nothing prettier, I don't think, downtown on a beautiful fall blue sky day than
right.
The outline of that courthouse against the blue sky. But at the same time, I've been in there, you know, as we all have been,
right. And
it's a bit crowded. There are individuals who are being adjudicated that are being passed right by witnesses. The safety issue has got to be problematic.
Yes.
Not only for the individuals being adjudicated, but also the people that work there, for crying out loud. What's the plan to utilize that current building moving forward?
Correct. Well, your descriptors are right on. I actually served jury duty for a week last year and served on a jury, so I got a real feel for the current situation. And this building is just not up to the task. It was dangerous. It was just too crowded. You had adult offenders coming down the halls with juveniles in the building, whether they were in the system or just with their families.
Sure.
You had witnesses. You had all of the jury pool. It is just too overused without the adequate kinds of security. And the HVAC system, we all got sick in jury duty. So, you know, things just are not up to code
sure.
on all of that on par. Here's the plan. So here sits our great courthouse. The county has acquired, I call it the old Pennies, showing my age mm-hmm. again, but the old Pennies are well-marked building
right.
to the very north already. And the county attorney, as you point out, will be moving into there even at this point. But it has plans, when we pass this bond issue, to be the juvenile court building.
So we'll have juveniles and adults separate. Smart.
And all of the services that surround juveniles in the system will be in that building, which is really an important aspect
of
this.
All of the social workers.
Correct.
And all of those, yes.
They're not only courtrooms, but the support systems
Absolutely.
That go with them. And so that's an important element of this. And traffic court will be in there and a few of the other smaller courts in that building. The old jail to the west mm-hmm. of the courthouse, unused at this point because we have a new jail, will be utilized as the criminal court. And it makes all kinds of sense. It was built as a secure building. It has a sally port. It has the other kinds of security that can be enhanced to the adequate and correct place for these years. And so that building will be reused and redone, a very efficient way to do so. And then the historic courthouse will be, you know, there'll no longer be courtrooms and closets, offices everywhere and under the stairs and boxes up and down.
Believe me, Judge Odell McGee is a friend of mine.
Yes.
And I have been in his office, which is a closet, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I know.
It's dangerous. It doesn't meet fire code.
Right.
All of those things are really true. And the public knows this. We've been speaking to many, many groups and lots of head nodding because folks are in there
sure.
doing their business or they're in jury duty. It's heavily used. It will be turned into the civil court building.
That's wise.
So I think it's just a perfect match here. We do what we ought to do for juveniles, and we know it, and we just are our pastime. We secure the criminal justice system so that it isn't crossing paths with civil and juveniles and other public business going on. And then we have a wonderful courthouse that will be much better utilized for the future.
What's the price tag for all this, Martha?
This price tag is $81 million, so 47% less than the one in 2000. How often do you see that? So I stand pretty tall on this. It is. It will be bonded over three different phases
mm-hmm.
so that, in fact, the supervisors will lock down the tax that will be needed for this building all the way through its project, and you won't see bumps along the way for this project. And the process of the rehabilitation will go in phases two, just as we talked about. First the Pennies, then the jail, then the courthouse.
Very good. It sounds as though that lots of people have been spending a lot of time making sure that this is something that can be swallowed by the general public at the same time.
Well, I think we got heard. really got heard. I know when they called me and asked if I would consider working on this and volunteering, I said, well, I want to see this plan and I want it to be different than it mm-hmm. was in 2008, and I want to be sure that all of these points were attended to. And I was absolutely convinced after hearing everything and seeing how efficient and effective this could be that this is our best, biggest chance.
And what's so important about this is because, you know, new is not always better. And we've learned that with the convention center that was downtown. You know, we built this convention center, and that didn't necessarily work out as well as what we had thought. And so that was a brand new structure that went in. But now we're taking a look at reutilizing some and repurposing some buildings that are already in existence, already within walking distance of the existing courthouse, and for less money. And we're saving money at the same time because we're not renting space from other people. Yeah.
Kind of a no-brainer. Well said.
Why
well
not?
Said.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Martha Willits, ladies and gentlemen, how do people get more information about this? Martha?
Yes. Well, they can go to, I hope I'm saying this right now, pokesafety.com. They can, they'll be watching all of the newscasts, including tonight, and I think they'll read a lot about it in the next couple of weeks, and I hope they're hearing a lot about it.
The election is, or the initiative goes before the public on, what, November 5th?
November 5th yep. in the municipal elections.
Right. So, and all of Polk County votes, is that correct?
And all of Polk County votes, correct, Michael.
So even those of us in the village of Windsor Heights get
you
to vote.
Got it.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Martha Willits, you get an opportunity to say hello to EJ for me as well as the ambassador.
You know, absolutely. They're pleased that you had time for us tonight.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? This is good stuff. Martha Willits, ladies and gentlemen, she has been all over Des Moines and Polk County for a lot of years, and it's our pleasure to have her as our guest. When we come back, we've got some more information, news and information about the Des Moines Metro, housing starts and sales and small businesses and health care coverage, that and a whole bunch more when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
When you're in love with a beautiful woman, it's hard. When you're in love with a beautiful woman.
Heart of Iowa Marketplace, the longest yard and more. To purchase a card, you can visit any participating store or visit the historic Valley Junction Foundation office. And that's at 137 5th Street in West Des Moines. To purchase a card or for questions and more information, you can call them at the historic Valley Junction Foundation. And that number is 515-222-3642. Or you can email them or visit valleyjunction.com. That's valleyjunction.com. That sounds like a good deal. You have $10 for $150 worth of savings, and you get to use it at all the shops at Valley Junction. I miss not having the Thursday night Valley Junction Farmers Market already. It's such a great time. Thanks so very much for coming in and being part of the News Hour. We certainly do appreciate it. Look, if you've got a story for us, it's easy to get it to us. All you have to do is go on and send it to us via email. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. iobnewsroom@gmail.com. What is he saying? Also, if you want to communicate with us before, during, or after the broadcast, that's really easy because we do monitor Twitter all the time. And that's IOB_NewsHour. IOB_NewsHour. We're proud to hear from Rich Eichner about the Eichner properties and all the reinvestment that he's doing in Merle Hay and Douglas. And also about the upcoming special screening on Wednesday at the Fleur Cinema, 7 o'clock. Matt Shepard was a friend of mine. And, of course, Martha Willits in to talk about the Polk County Courthouse Initiative that's going to be on the ballot come November. Have a good evening. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.